Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, and welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show, and I conclude my week with Bob Lowry, and today we're going to talk about hot tubs or spas and how you can maintain them properly. These are those fiberglass spas that are separate from the pool, and they're always daunting for the pool industry professionals not familiar with them, so I wanted Bob Lowry to go over the basics of hot tub chemistry for you in this podcast. Bob Lowry is a renowned chemist in the pool industry. He has over 45 years of experience. He also has a certified residential course that you can take online. And you can learn more about a certified residential course at pcti.online. Again, that's pcti.online. And you can see the upcoming schedule. Usually he has one course every month held on a Saturday morning. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. So let's talk a little, let's finish up here. We'll talk about spas and hot tubs. And so there's this big debate about bromine versus chlorine in hot tubs. There's, you know, or a lot of times you have the frog sanitizer, things like that. There's so many different ways to sanitize a spa. The newer ones have UV and ozone built into them. So what would be the best sanitizer for a spa, in your opinion? Bromine, chlorine, ozone, UV, you know?
Well, I think each of the available disinfectants have their own characteristics that you end up having to deal with. And for many years, a lot of people use sodium dichlor or they use bromine tablets. And again, the bromine tablets were a convenient way to just put the thing in a feeder and let it feed the right amount of bromine to the spa. There was some advantages to using bromine, and the advantages are that it works at a higher temperature. It works at a higher pH. Bromamines, which are bromine and ammonia getting together, don't smell, and there are active sanitizers. So it had those advantages. The disadvantage to bromine is that it is not an oxidizer. So it will kill things. It will kill bacteria and it will kill algae, and it's pretty handy at doing that. But it doesn't oxidize sunblock, sweat, urine, soap, deodorant, hairspray, you know, lotions, powders, those kinds of things that we have on our bodies. It doesn't oxidize those. We end up needing a separate oxidizer. But there isn't a test to determine when you need an oxidizer. So you have to guess at it. So you use the tablets, and then you guess at how often you need to add an oxidizer. And that can be once or twice a week. One of the advice that I used to give people with a spa is every time you get out of the spa, add an ounce of oxidizer back to the spa. A non-chlorine shock. Add an oxidizer to the spa. When you get out, leave the spa on for 10 minutes and turn it off. And that way you will take care of most of the contamination that you brought in with you. And if you don't, then a couple of days later, your spa is going to kind of smell and stuff. And it's because the bromine can't kill that stuff. It can't oxidize it. So you need to add either a chlorine shock or a non-chlorine shock whenever you get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can use bromine, but as I've said, with a spa in particular, the chlorine level The sanitizer level goes to zero very quickly. And 265 gallons of water, 1 gram of chlorine is one part per million. And so it's a very small amount of chlorine to get a part per million. You're talking about a teaspoon providing 4 or 5 parts per million of chlorine. By the same token, a person has a chlorine demand of about 4 grams of chlorine. So when they get in the spa, I've often said, 2 people in a 400-gallon spa will use up 1 part per million of chlorine in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And use up 2 parts per million of bromine in 15 minutes. So the chlorine level can disappear 15 minutes after you put it in. So it's important that we have something that supplies that chlorine back, or that the homeowner is supplementing it either with adding some dichlor or some oxidizer when they get out, and then let the bromine do its job. I don't think it's an either or. It's a matter of which one works best for you. The Frog system that they've just come out with is essentially the same as a bromine tab, except they put chlorine with it. Mm-hmm. And so it is a tablet of chlorine, but it doesn't have any cyanuric acid in it.
Huh.
So it's a pretty cool system because it's chlorine without adding cyanuric acid to the spa. So it's a viable alternative to bromine or using dichlor in there.
What about liquid chlorine? I know a lot of people use liquid chlorine in spas.
You can use liquid chlorine in a spa, no problem. Mm-hmm. Again, the people that say you shouldn't are the people that still believe when you add liquid chlorine, it raises the pH. And we now know that liquid chlorine doesn't raise the pH, so there's less of a reason to not use it.
What about I hear this all the time, and I've heard it since I started in the industry, that you shouldn't mix in a spa bromine tablets, and then you shouldn't use liquid chlorine to shock the spa. There's some kind of reaction with that, or is that just something that's developed into one of those myths in the industry?
It's a myth.
Okay.
It's a myth. But you know, if you're using bromine tabs in a spa, you need to periodically shock it. And it's your choice what you want to shock it with. Mm-hmm. You can shock it with liquid chlorine, you can shock it with dichlor, you can shock it with Cal-Hypo, you can shock it with monopersulfate or a non-chlorine shock, or even hydrogen peroxide.
What about like the UV and ozones that are coming with the newer spas? You think those are good methods? I know people think that having the UV and ozone means they don't need chlorine in their spa, which is not true, right?
That is absolutely not true. Okay. And part, the biggest reason, which I said earlier today, was from bather to bather transmission. And think about this. UV, the only things that are being killed or changed are things that are passing within 1 inch of that UV bulb. So anything that's in the spa that's attached or too big to get into the system, it's not seeing the UV. So if you have a biofilm growing, if you have algae growing or whatever, it's not going to where the UV is. So it only kills stuff going through it. And the UV system, the bulb is usually inside of an optically clear sleeve. And if that sleeve gets dirty from soap, oil, calcium, magnesium, whatever, if it gets a deposit or it gets soap film or something on it, it changes the optics of that glass sleeve, and you no longer are putting out the proper wavelength to get rid of anything. The proper wavelength to kill things with UV is 254 nanometers. And if you make that sleeve dirty, it's no longer outputting at 254 nanometers, which means it's not killing anything. So if it gets dirty, it's not killing anything. Ozone. Ozone is very powerful stuff. It can be up to 2,000 times more powerful than chlorine. But it only exists in water under good conditions, under great conditions, for between 3 and 15 minutes. That's it. So 3 to 15 minutes. And most of the time, especially in a spa, the ozone lasts for seconds. So, and you can prove that by actually sticking your nose as close as you can to a return line. And if you can't smell ozone in that return, then you probably don't have any ozone getting into the spa. And oxidation is being done within literally a few inches of the ozonator.
And the smell of that, what is that, Bob, when you smell it, you say?
People have likened the smell of ozone to either wet hay. Some people never get near hay. Around a, when there is a thunderstorm, you can kind of smell the ionization in the air a little bit. The other place that most people might remember it is if they've ever stood by a photocopy machine and made 50 copies. That smell that comes out of there is not a, not the toner smell. You're smelling ozone.
Huh. Interesting. I never thought about smelling it, but that's a good point. You know, I, at all my hot tubs, I keep a submersible pump behind it. I tell the customer, I'm leaving this pump here because I'm going to be draining your spot every 3 or 4 months. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people neglect is this water is in here. It's like a bathtub kind of, and you're just chemicalizing it. It needs to be drained often, right?
Yes. Yes. I recommended for years that you drain your spa every 90 days. I was on the committee that created a drain routine for, at the time, NSDI for commercial spas. And you take 1/3 of the gallons in the spa and divide it by the bather load. And the resulting answer is how many days you can use the water. And it actually works in a, for a homeowner spa. If you think about it, you've got what? 350 gallons, a third of that's 110. If you divide two people into 110, you can use the water for 55 days.
Yeah, so, smart. I think that's one equation that a lot of people are struggling with when they have their hot tub and they're doing pool service and they can't clear it up or they can't figure out what's wrong with it. The simple answer is you have to drain it.
Well, you do, and it's a lot easier, especially if you've got a, you know, a 50 gallon a minute pump or something like that to drain it. You can probably drain it in 5 minutes, you know, maybe 10 minutes, fill it back up in a half an hour and you're done.
Yeah.
You know, and just start using some dichlor to start and you'll get some cyanuric acid in it. It's a lot easier with a spa to just drain it. The more you can drain it, the better with a spa.
And that's one reason why I leave a sub pump at every hot tub that I do in my service route when I'm not carrying it back there. And I also tell the homeowner, if you feel like draining at any time, here's how you use the pump. And I show them how to use it with their garden hose, and they can drain it whenever they want to themselves. And as long as they let me know they drained it, I can make sure that it has chemicals in it. But one of the things I think is important with a hot tub care is that draining is something that should be part of your service. You shouldn't neglect that aspect of it. And you, of course, you charge for that too. You charge for draining the spa for them.
I would set it up on a, you know, 90, 120 days.
Yeah.
Just put it on your calendar and do it.
Yep, exactly. Well, thank you again, Bob, for your time recording these. And I think the information is extremely valuable. And I know that the listeners love listening to the podcast I record with you from all the numbers that I'm getting and all the feedback. And before I close, one person had a question I should ask you. You mentioned in one of the podcasts that if you have a salt system that's not operating, that they're not using, you have to remove the salt cell. And what would be a reason to remove the salt cell in a non-functioning salt system?
There is a reason, believe it or not, and Part of the reason is that the blades or the cells, the anode and cathode inside the cell, they create a way to make turbulence. And if there is some air in the water, and that air, when it hits those blades, it creates an extreme amount of turbulence. And when we create turbulence and aeration, it raises the pH in the pool because CO2 is outgassing. I would make sure that I took it out of there. Even if you want to leave it in there, there's a way with most of them that you can take the cells out to clean it. Leave the housing in there, but just take the cells out so that you haven't got that all of that restriction and aeration going on in that cell.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I couldn't figure out why you said that either. I was like, I'll have to ask Bob because I don't know why you have to take the cell out. So that makes perfect sense to me. And that's why these podcasts are so important, because the information is priceless. I mean, you have the 40 plus years of experience in the industry that a lot of people don't have. And I think you giving this information to people, we should also mention your classes. And I always mention those in the podcast outro and intro for you. And of course, your books. You've written over 20 books. We talked about one of the smaller books that you wrote. So I think you're a wealth of information. And I think the listeners really appreciate the time you put into these podcasts.
Well, you know, I've spent, I think probably the first time I gave a seminar in this industry was about a year after I got into it. So I've actually been passing along information to service techs in particular for just about 47 years now.
Huh. Wow.
And, so I believe in giving back to an industry that I've made a living from. And my way of giving it back is to pass along what I learned to give it to you guys to make things easier and make understanding your job easier.
Well, we really appreciate your time, Bob.
Okay, well, we'll see you next time. Stay tuned.
Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed the week with Bob Lowry. I think it's always refreshing to get another opinion in the industry. And of course, Bob Lowry is the premier expert. Again, if you're interested in his certified residential, you can go to pcti.online. You can also find the other recordings I did with Bob Lowry by going to my website, swimmingforlearning.com. On the banner, you're going to see a podcast icon. Click on that for the previous podcast. And if you're interested in the coaching program that I offer, you can learn more about my coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. A lot of great benefits for joining, including a discount on your general liability insurance. Thanks for listening to this podcast. A great rest of your week, and God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Yeah! Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.